So hopefully everybody should have an outline. It should say persevering for your destiny in God. So if you don't have one of those, you might want to raise your hand. Ushers, if you could be alert for anyone that doesn't have an outline, I'd appreciate it. And these pages are all over, and if you get absolutely desperate, can't do without my outline, you don't have one, you could go in the back if nobody gets to you. All right? So as we look at today's outline and today's sermon, it's called Persevering for Your Destiny in God. And say it again, persevering for your destiny in God. So that would say then that we actually have a destiny in God. There are things that God wants us to do, things God created us for that nobody else can quite do. And that's extremely, extremely important to understand, because you have a purpose here. You have many purposes, multiple purposes here, not just one. And I think as we look through the pages of the Bible, we discover, and it seems that people have destinies. They have things they're called to do, and there's a great deal of that in the Bible as we introduce the Bible characters. And we can't leave that in the realm of just saying, well, that's for those guys, you know, they're the special people. No, with the cross and Jesus, everybody became special. You know why you're special? Because it took his blood to buy you as a daughter or a son. So that makes you special and unique. And the other reason is because he's big enough to make you special and kind enough and generous enough. And he's in love with these things called human beings for whatever reason. Sometimes you wonder why in the world he would even bother, right? Because of all the stuff we do, right, and the way we are. But that's the way he is. So it turns out, along with all that love and blessing, that there are things that he has for you to do. He didn't just create you for anything, but he has purpose for you. And there's not just one purpose, there's usually multiple purposes. You could summarize that in the word destiny. All the multiple purposes that God has for you. Some people's destiny is more powerful than others in the sense of we know it's more dominant what they were supposed to do, you know, like for example, Abraham Lincoln. Right? What was his destiny? What did he do, you know, in the economy of God and in the Lord, right? And so we understand that. But every one of you has, you're on a plan. You're not just on any old plan. You don't just exist. You're not just any old believer. But there's a reason why you're here, and there's destiny in you. And part of the great adventure of walking with God is figuring out what is that I'm supposed to be doing. Not just for my whole life, that's quite a big question, maybe almost too big to answer, but also for our individual lives. Who are we individually, right, in everyday life? And so the whole life, but then there's the individual things, and all of it makes up things that you're supposed to do, things you're supposed to say in this life, and an impact that you're supposed to make on the world. And so I want to read James chapter 1, verses 2 to 8. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So, with all this great destiny talk, there's an adversary who absolutely hates you and does not want you to do anything productive on the earth whatsoever, because he's a usurper and he's trying to take his own destiny into his own hands and the destiny of the earth and steal it. That's why he's called the thief. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's why we face many trials. Many of the trials that we experience are part of life, but also directly toward discouraging us from any kind of sense of calling or ability or whatever, right? Because once we discover that we can do something, we become stewards of that, and God uses us then to change the world. In the history of the world, we can see where many people have changed the world, you know, as historical figures, but everybody has a destiny to change the world around them, and some larger, some smaller in the world's eyes, but all just as important. But in that process of destiny, fulfilling why you're here, right? Notice as we read through these passages, we're going to find out that there's trouble as we are moving into that destiny. There's an evil one who doesn't want you to enter that place, and a whole world system that's against that place, trying to give you the wrong information about what life's all about and the wrong information about your life. So he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. So trials of many kinds I've just discovered, I mean, I've just described, but why joy? Right? It doesn't seem like a very joyful thing to me. I don't get a really kick out of my trials that much. I don't know about you, but so he's talking about a whole other way of looking at life, isn't he? And maybe that presumes someone else in control too, right? Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Okay, that's kind of interesting, perseverance. Yeah, I can certainly say I'm a little more persevering these days after going through these trials. You know, I've kind of learned how to navigate life. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now, that's an interesting concept. So I have this trouble, but it's for me not lacking anything. Oh, I thought trouble was just to steal from me. Right? Well, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but what? I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. So what's love? Life. Well, life is love. Life is all kinds of things, right? Good things. Jesus gives good things. Would you say that together? Jesus gives good things. You weren't too convinced, but anyway. You're sleepy or you've had a very bad week. Jesus gives good things, right? Right. If any of you lacks wisdom about your life and about those good things, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and will be given to you. The very fact that you can ask the creator of the universe about your life is just an incredible thought. Maybe it's one of the most incredible thoughts of all salvation. I have access to ask him about stuff, right? Right? And then this other thing is, he gives generously without finding fault. Why does he not find fault? Well, he doesn't find fault when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, because that was taken care of at the cross. And if we do have fault, we just say, Lord, I'm sorry, I did it, I admit it, right? But what comes on the other side of that? I mean, okay, I'm clean, but the good thing about it is, if I lack wisdom, I can ask God, who gives generously and irrespective of my sin, because that's taken care of. There's no blocks between me and God. So God gives generously what I need, the wisdom I need for my life. How many need a little wisdom for your life? I think it's like number one, right? You know, hundreds of decisions we make through our life. Some of them didn't turn out so great, right? Some were belly flops. They weren't really good, right? So we don't like belly flops. We like nice dives. We like nice activity right around us. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So these trials that come, whenever you consider it pure joy, I don't know if I'm at that place yet, but whenever you face trials of many kinds, because there's a certain thing that's built called perseverance. And perseverance gives you the calmness, gives you the courage, gives you the faith to navigate any waters, right? And at the same time, not lack anything. So I see this happen a lot. People get a little bump in the road, and they make about five bad decisions out of it. And the enemy uses that trial then to eat their lunch, right? Because he comes as a thief to steal, kill, and destroy. And sometimes pain does that, right? But over time with the Lord, we have difficulties. We can consider it joy because our God is in charge of our life. And my God shall supply all your needs in glory in Christ Jesus. And he's just a prayer away, right? And he surrounds us with favor. And all things are working together for my good now that I'm on God's side. And I just need to access that good for myself, right? If you lack wisdom, you should ask God. And so any problem you're in, you can ask God, and he gives generously without finding fault. He's not there, why do you want just, you're such a bad person. Why do you want this wisdom anyway? What do you want to do with this newfound wisdom? You're going to make $1 million and then desert me? No, I mean, we have all these voices, you know, whatever, you know. But let's just say, here, let's just settle this. God's good and the devil's bad. If we could just settle that one theological fact, we would do so much better, right? But it's not only that God's good, he's really good, right? So let's just say that. God is really good. Say that. God is really good. Now let's talk about the devil. The devil is really bad. The devil is really bad. Okay. Now that's going to prepare everything for what comes, right? So the thing is, perseverance allows God, this is on B there, Perseverance allows God to shape our character and grow our faith for higher purposes. And this is extremely important to understand, because what the enemy does is he attacks us, but God uses it like the art of judo. The art of judo is you take the momentum of the adversary and you turn it into your own good, right? You turn it against him. God's been doing that for thousands of years. The enemy keeps attacking, and he uses the momentum of that and turns the whole thing around over and over and over again. He never learns. He never learns, right? But that's part of our heritage as believers. So there's this little intervening thing called faith. Faith that makes all this possible. So that's the thing where you have to sort of step out and believe, even when you don't have the evidence right away that God is good, that God's got your destiny in mind and he's taking care of you. So 11:6-12. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So the two things, first that he exists, and the secondly that he's interested in you. If he didn't die for you, maybe that would be a question. But because he died for you, he actually really does want you. He really likes you. And if you earnestly seek him, he really is there. That's the price he paid for you to know how much he wants you to earnestly seek him, and how he's able to help you seek him. He has the power because he didn't die. If he had died, it would be no go, right? Because he died and rose from the dead, that means he can raise any of your problems from the dead, right? He has the power, but not only the power, but the will to do it. Yeah, I know him has all that power, but I don't think he likes me. Well, if he cared enough to die for you, I think he likes you. So we can settle that one too. Just let me just say that just to humor me. God likes me. Now about half of you didn't say a word. It's been a really tough week, huh? All right, let's have everybody say it, okay? Just for fun, okay. God likes me. Okay, I think everybody's lips were moving. All right. God likes me. So we... he likes me better than you better than me. Verse 7. Now we get into contest here. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that's keeping with faith. And I always laugh about that. That crazy ark on the East Coast, what an amazing thing that is. Yeah. And Noah's building this ship in the middle of the desert, right? In the middle of... Can you imagine the ridicule he had? But he did it in faith. And that was no small effort at that time. That was like... That took a lot of time and energy, right? Building this ark with all the ridicule of everybody around him, right? But he did it in faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to a place he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went... even though he did not know where he was going exactly. That's not good, especially in those days. You know, there wasn't a lot of knowledge, and everything was very tribal and dangerous. He almost lost his wife a couple of times, and it was dangerous for him. He was our Abraham father, in the sense of he's the one that gives us example of how to walk with God in faith. And it's a pretty good example, actually. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob. I just got to say, this thing that he did with Abraham and all that he did, God didn't forget. And that became Abraham's promise. So this is overarching everything political that you want to know, right? That country was meant by the hand of Almighty God. Other countries have other land. This land was meant for Israel. Right? As did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. And all their descendants, extending down to this very day, which is an amazing thing that his descendants are in that land even to this very day. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. So he's looking forward in faith, as we do, to what ultimately will happen to our life. And by faith, even Sarah was past childbearing, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, he must have been really old, came descendants as numerous as the stars. And I mean, by the Bible, sometimes you notice it doesn't pull punches. You know, it's just like, yeah, well, hey, man, he was as good as dead. There's no way he could have had a kid on his own, right? Came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. So that was his promise, and he inherited it by what? By believing, by trusting God, which was severely, severely tested. Does anybody remember how it was tested? Then God told him to sacrifice that son. Wow, on an altar on Mount Moriah. And he did it. He was about to do it. And then God said, I was just testing your faith. Is faith important to God? I think so. Golly, man. And I'll tell you what, the bigger promise you have over your life and the bigger purpose is, the more you're going to get tested in this. Because the enemy knows about those things too. And he hates everything that's about God. And he comes only to steal and kill and destroy the very promises that God's come to fulfill. I don't know why we keep getting shocked over that. And then I don't know, another thing that's always been a mystery to me is why we try to ignore that. Do you think the devil's going to stop because you ignored him? You know, you just think, well, maybe if I don't think too hard, he won't keep destroying and killing and messing my life up. Maybe I could just take a pause from church and God and the whole thing, you know. And if I do that, maybe he won't notice. Matter of fact, maybe I'm just too visible. Doesn't work like that, does it? Actually, he's a supernatural being, and he's looking for someone to devour constantly. This shouldn't be a shock to us. But it also might be a shock to you that God intends for you to overcome that enemy and all enemies. And you do it by faith. And that is how you persevere in your destiny with God. You don't give up on what he made you for. You don't give up on what he wants you to do, right? Persevering is like farming. We sow with effort, but we don't see the result till later, right? We sow, but we also reap. And this whole sowing thing is sometimes a mystery to us because we don't understand the timings of God sometimes. But listen to this. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. So sometimes our sowing in prayer and we're before the Lord is painful. We're in a difficult place. But if we're doing it toward the Lord, guess what? All that sowing and pain does. We'll reap with songs of joy because that's what God does. I came, he said, that they might have life and that more abundantly. And so one thing I just want to say, and I put a little word next to this, we look for signs of progress. I put this is one of the most important things I've learned. I put the word important here. Because when you pray, it's really helpful to pray and then watch for signs of progress. Now the thing is, we're like these kids, you know, that want things for Christmas. You know, when they're little, you know, we order the thing for Christmas and then they think Christmas is tomorrow, right? So, and they kill you and they're driving you nuts by a month of that. So you just wait till you buy them closer to Christmas, right? And they're in there messing around with the wrapping and everything, right? But it's so important that we begin, as we ask for things, to look for signs of progress, to watch your life. And I've become a life watcher, really, especially with my prayer life, because I really believe in the things I pray. But like, I want to give you a helpful hint on this. When you pray, watch for things. Watch for signs. Watch for a sense of progress. Just watch for things that are different than they were before. Watch for changes in the environment, changes in the whole thing. And when you get one of those changes, one of those things that looks like it's moving in your direction, then say thank you to God and thank him, thank him, thank him. And just live like that. You can't keep a person like that down. And you know God's not up there going, oh man, I am not going to show them anything. I'm just going to leave them completely in the dark. Well, I suppose there might be something, but I have found rarely now that I've been this little watcher person now when I pray for things. I'm like the kid at Christmas. I'm looking for signs that this thing's showing up, right? And that's what we need to do. And it's very, very powerful because then I found in doing that that God actually shows me a lot of things. And it's very encouraging, right? We have a deep need to see a sign of progress. And then when I see that sign of progress, I promptly thank him. And also, many requests that we ask, many things that we ask the Lord are like plants. They're like a seed you plant, and they grow up into the thing they're going to be instead of presto magic. You know, they just appear one day. Now, they can do that. You can have the most amazing thing, but usually miracles grow up, right? And they grow up by watering them with faith in our prayers. That's worth the price of admission. If you didn't hear anything else in here, remember that one. That'll get you a long way if you actually believe what I said. Much of life, much of what we receive, is process. Much of it has to do with our relationship with God, but he's sneaky that way. This relationship with God, he does it in the context of everyday life, proving who he is, revealing who he is. He wants you to know all about him, but often in the context of your problems. That's the way he reveals himself. That's the way you get to know him. That's the way you become his friend, right? And over time, you develop this amazing relationship with the Lord. We make the seed grow supernaturally by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. That's Philippians 4:6. So this is a really important key, because it turns out that as we pray for things and we persevere for things, you know, I tell you, every parent understands this, and you that are going to be parents, you'll understand this. Snotty-nosed kids that scream and yell and have no sense of thanksgiving whatsoever in their life, that are always pushing you and blah, 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 blah. I mean, it's just, man, do you want to give them the world? Do you want to give them stuff? No, all you want to give them is a little slap or a little spanky spanky or whatever, or a rebuke or whatever. Why would I want to be like that with God? So it's sort of important that when we pray, we petition with thanksgiving. Thank you, God, that you're already hearing me even before I say a word. Even before I say a word. Thank you. I really appreciate it. And I just remember what you've done for me before, and it gives me great faith. And I thank you, Lord, for always having my back. Thank you, Lord, that you're the one. You said, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Thank you for that promise. I receive that promise by faith in Jesus' name. Now, to reinforce this, as we look at the scriptures, Jesus came, and he came and he let us know about this thing with his teaching and gave us all kinds of parables and examples, right? So here's one out of Luke 18 that's really dramatic about this whole thing of trials that are solved by persevering faith. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. So Lord, I want to ask you right now in Jesus' name, for everybody that's prayed something in the past, maybe they've been praying it for quite some time and they gave up and they haven't prayed anymore and it's been just in a dark corner in life. I pray in the name of Jesus for you right now. I just bring the light into that dark place, and I ask, Lord, you would light that dark corner up that they've given up, and they just took it for a loss, put it in the loss column, you know, the debit column. But Lord, I declare it in the plus. I declare it still in play, what they said before, and I pray you would reinvigorate their prayers. You're the one that talked about that. You're the one that told us about this right here. We're going to see it. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time, he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, but because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so she won't eventually come and attack me. Violent widow. Now anyway, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? That would be you and me who have received Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We're chosen. We're chosen by God before the foundation of the world, and we're chosen on God keeps on choosing us. He doesn't unchoose us, right? And so much so that he calls us sons, and he calls us daughters. So will he not bring about justice for his chosen ones? And by the way, justice is not complicated. You know, every kid, even like a kid, you know, your kids are 6 years old, they have a sense of justice, right? Especially if they got friends and if they got, you know, siblings. They understand justice real early. You teach it to them and they kind of have this, you know, he gets something, I get something, right? So justice is not hard to figure out. We cry out to him day and night. Bring about justice for his chosen. We cry out to him day and night. Matter of fact, that's one big problem. Sometimes people let themselves be discouraged by other people's prayers and answers. So if a brother or sister gets an answer to prayer, you should be jumping up and saying hallelujah and running around the block, because evidently answers are in season now. Instead of, man, look at that. Another person got something. I never get nothing, right? What a dumb way to act. That would presume that God's picky. He kind of, you know, likes you 1 minute, doesn't like you. He has preferences, got favorites. I think he said, for God so loved the world. So there's no favorites here. We're all favorites. If you're a human being, you're a favorite. If you're a squirrel, maybe not so much. Right? All right. I don't know why I said that. Anyway. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? Who what are they doing? They're crying out to him day and night. Right? not getting discouraged over somebody else's answered prayer. They're saying, Lord, thank you for that answer to prayer. Man, you must be answering prayers for all of us. Man, I thank you so much. Here's my request, right? Well, that's why I get so excited about answered prayer. If you are with me in any prayer meetings, and I do a lot of them around here, you know, I get really excited about prayer meetings, and I get really excited about answers because I think, wow, God's doing that now. Whoa, that's good, right? And I try to apply it to my own life. I'm a very needy person. Verse 8, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Oh, so we make the seed grow supernaturally by prayer and petition with thanksgiving and constant intercession. But there's this word faith, and that's the meantime and the meantime, you know. And I've gotten in the habit of just continually asking, wearing the throne room out, constantly coming, because there's other references that way besides even this one. Listen to this. Bring out justice for his chosen. How often are they crying out? Evidently, that's what's expected, day and night. Day and night. So we should be like Christian entrepreneurs, prayer entrepreneurs, as we persevere for our destiny in God. And so we make this seed grow of progress, of this answered prayer that we need, right? Prayer and petition with thanksgiving and constant intercession. So Roman numeral 2. The opposite of sowing and persevering is the spirit of poverty. So, and a spirit of poverty, I'll just define this way, is just grinning and bearing it and doing it without what you absolutely need. And just trying to make the best of the situation. I think that's admirable that you do that. At least you have a great attitude. But it's not such a great attitude toward God. Do not just try to make the best of the situation. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And if God's God, he's God. And if he's a father, he's a father. So keep persevering until it gets answered. Don't make sure that the end isn't you, the one on your end. And sometimes God draws us into these things. And I got to say this through my experience and just from the scripture. He draws you into these spaces so he can fellowship with you, so he can interact with you. He purposely draws you into needy places so that we could have some fun together. Right? We can fight the devil together. And in the process, we become more useful. Because when you get an answer to one thing, you go, I wonder what else is possible. That's a supernatural response, by the way. So what if he's got a whole world that's on their edge waiting for him to do something, watching for him to do something, praying over every situation. They're not just throwing their hands up. They're not just wringing their fingers. You know, they're just doing this. What a world, what a world, what a world. You know, they're not doing that. They're trusting God. They're pushing forward. And with one voice together. And that's a real critical thing. That's why the Bible says, if two of you agree about anything, I'll do it. That prayer of agreement. God loves the agreeing church. Agreeing about things. Right? It's powerful in his ears. And just even two agreeing is more powerful than even one agreeing. So when you can get two or three of us going. And by the way, I want to say thank you again. Because I'm still so grateful. I'm still so grateful. You know, this is how bad I've been bit with this prayer thing. I still am living in the fire and the warmth of that National Day of Intercession that we did together. And we filled this place with people. It's the first time. Yeah, you know, that's not a bad... Oh, thank you. That's a good idea. We filled this place with people interceding with all their heart. I mean, they weren't just kind of interceding with all their heart for our nation. Now, I hope that if that happened on the National Day of Prayer, this time all across the United States, which I suspect it might have or at least increased, that would be really, really good. That would be really, really good. But in this place, it was full of fire. It was like you could feel the angels. You could feel the ambassadors moving out and all the thing, right? All right. So look at your outline 2A. The spirit of poverty is about surviving the moment until the next crisis. However, we must see our work as a sacrificial investment for the future. God says all hard work brings a profit. Isn't that interesting? I just beat that scripture into my kids. Dad, I'm sick of this porch. Sick of this. Listen, son. All hard work brings a profit. And of course, my sons and my children say to me, really, Dad? Well, that's nice to know. Thank you so much. I will work harder. Thank you so much. That's what my kids do. So if all hard work brings a profit, then we are part of the answer to our own destiny. So as believers, when we work hard, it brings a profit. Some are better, higher than others, right? Some results are better than others, right? It's powerful. So look at number B, letter B there. Jesus speaks of poverty in the bags of gold parable. I used to call it the bags of gold, but anyway, that's what the NIV says. Now you guys know this parable, right? And it's a very powerful one. And I want to just read through these scriptures, okay? Because it has all to do with our destiny and the Lord persevering for our destiny. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14, and I'll just read through these. Again, it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the one who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Now look at this. This is very interesting. Come and share your master's happiness. So God's really happy about this, that you made more with what he gave you. Right? It makes him happy. You think it makes God happy? I like. That's wise. Wise way to walk with the Lord, right? What makes God happy with me? I want to do that, right? It turns out he gives us gifts, and we use those gifts to his glory, and we make more with what he's given us, then God gets happy. And those gifts aren't just about money. It's about all kinds of things he's giving. That's why it's so important to understand what you're kind of good at or what you like to do and use it to serve others. Use it to make a profit, right? Not only maybe financial profit, but a profit in the world. Make the world better, right, with the gifts he's given you. That's why it's kind of important to know what you're good at and what you do. And by the way, God's no respecter of gifts. He likes what you do. He likes what you have to offer. He made you that way. He made you. Part of your great adventure of life is discover what you're made for, what you do, what kind of things you can do. What he's put in your hand is another part of the gifting. What is it that he's put in your hand? You know, an empty room maybe, or that you have that maybe someone could use temporarily, or maybe other things that's in your hand. Sometimes things come to us and we don't think, well, that our first thought should be how we could use this to bless somebody else. I only have a little time in this life, and how can I do that? That's why it's been such a wonderful thing to have the ability to help so many people that have been homeless or having trouble with their housing or so on. And it's just been a wonderful gift that we've been able to use our gifts to help that. It's a pleasure, but you know, it wasn't just us that was made happy. God's happy, and if God's happy with us, how do you know it's going to go good for the whole church when God's happy with us? One of the biggest reasons why we minister to people that are weak is the Bible tells us that it makes God extremely happy. So whoever is doing it, whether it's cities, whether it's people, individuals, Christians or not, when we do that, it makes heaven happy. And I don't know about you, but I got enough problems in my life without making heaven mad, right? I want heaven happy, right? The man with 2 bags of gold also came, master. He said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I've gained 2 more. This master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. You catch that? Now you get more. So not only do you get the master's happiness, but you get more. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where we have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. Now, the next reply is sort of weird. You know, it's sort of like even a little scary. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. Now, I thought the guy didn't do a good job, but man, wicked and lazy. But that's what he says, you wicked, lazy servant, because God wants increase. So this has everything to do with your destiny. He wants you to increase in your productivity. He wants you to increase in what you've been called to do. He wants you to increase in your gifts. He wants you to use them and then get more from heaven to do more. And all of it makes him happy, right? And the other way makes him not only sad, but it looks like a little mad, right? Just about. And so we always think in terms of like what we did wrong, and the condemnation of that, but How about what we do right and what we can do? How about concentrating on what we're good at or what we can do right in front of us and then keep doing it, right? And certainly constantly be interested in brownie points and whether you stumbled over there or you stumbled over there to figure out whether you're in good graces of God. Just use what he's been given you and keep using it for the glory of God in whatever area, whether it's business or whether it's some practical thing in your neighborhood or some little gift he's given you to pray. I have a couple of prayer people in here that just make me so encouraged because I know they're praying all the time. And, you know, they do it secretly a lot, and then every once in a while I'll hear about them doing that, and they'll tell me about someone they prayed for and everything. And so they're doing theirs in secret. So these don't have to be visible things, but I like it when it kind of sneaks out and I see an answered prayer of things. Those are just beautiful things that they're doing in secret, but they're doing their part, right? That's what they have to do. And I like it when people do parts. I have people in the warehouse that it's been so exciting for me through the years, many, many years. I can't even remember. I guess we started around 06, 07, something like that. So we have people that have been working in that warehouse doing things like that for free, volunteering for free all these years. You know what? They're happy. They're happy to do it. They do it behind the scenes. They don't need any approbation. It's just amazing. So let me tell you, this is a fulfillment of your destiny. There are children workers in here, people that volunteer in our children's ministry for a decade, 2 decades, not that many, maybe 2 decades, but I know for 10 years, 11 years, back there all the time instead of in here, serving our kids and happy to do it. You know, most of us aren't that happy to do it, especially the parents. But there are, I know this is hard to believe. I know it's hard to believe, but there are actually children's workers back there that really like what they're doing. I know it's hard to believe, but there are people who actually like to intercede for 4 or 5 hours a day and like what they're doing. And I know it's hard to believe, but there are people that do things like that, and they find joy in it. And I think they are very close to their destiny when you find what you're doing and you find joy in it. And especially if it's a humble thing that nobody gives you that much approbation for, you have truly found destiny. There's people like Ken over there. Ken snuck in the door for his monthly visit. Yes. But what he does behind the scenes is he works tirelessly in the warehouse, fixing little gadgets and sell them online, using his skills. And he's only like a CEO of a major company. And now he just serves. He doesn't want any approbation, nobody thanking him, nobody doing what I'm doing right now. But it's just amazing. He's fulfilling his destiny. He's doing a big, big reward. He's walking in something that's important to God, really important to God. It's important to us, but it's also important to God. And just the idea of it's important to God, right? Will he ever fix a thing? Just the thing that he tries to fix stuff, so we can sell them to make money to serve other people. What an amazing thing. And we have a whole room full of these people here today. So when we talk about destiny, I don't want to talk about too much, you know, destiny, you know. It's always Hollywood, you know. We have way too much TV and movies. So we talk about scripture thing. It's always about Hollywood. Always think back to, you know, this movie we, you know, and all this stuff, right? But these simple things is where the action is in the will of God. And you'll find that because also in this process, you'll find out it's very fulfilling in your own heart, right? So I was afraid, went out and hit your ground. See, here's what blessed. Master replied, you wicked, lazy servant, you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with honest interest. He's not letting him get off the hook of this thing, right? So, take the bag of gold from him, and this is the most amazing part, and give it to the one who has 10 bags. Whoa, that guy's got 10 bags already. Why would you do that? Well, he makes more money. I know he's going to be faithful with this. For whoever has will be given more and will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. So when you're talking about your destiny in the Lord, I think probably everybody would like a destiny that's really great. Wouldn't you like a good destiny in the Lord? A heritage, something you've done in the Lord that's wonderful. Wouldn't everybody like that? I think you want that. I think you'd want it to follow you to heaven. Well, here's some of the keys right here. But then he says, and this, I didn't say this. Okay, I'm just reading it. That's all I'm doing. I'm just reading the word, right? And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm thinking, wow, it's a little hard on the guy, isn't it? I mean, wow. And I'm thinking about all the times I've been lazy, right? And but there was a lifestyle. This guy was hiding this, thinking he's protected, but he's not living. He's dying a slow death. And he's not gaining. Everybody knows about money. This is a thing called inflation. So if you're not making money, or if you're not, it's easy to fall behind, right? That's what the enemy always does. He tries to bring not only inflation, but stagflation to you. He tries to ruin you. He's always trying to steal and kill and destroy. So we need to keep moving forward and asking God to multiply and help us moving forward. That's in our jobs, in our areas. Some of our stewards in our jobs, we steward it for God. We do a work for God there. Whatever area you're called to, right? And whatever gifts you may have. One of the greatest glorious things that I think a person could discover is their spiritual giftings. Things that they do well. You don't have to really do too much more fancy. What are things that you do? What are things that you like to do? What are things that you would like to do better? That's even another way to look at it. Because if you have a tendency to like things and want to do more of it, you kind of get good at that, right? And it becomes, then itself, that becomes a gift, right, to other people. Sometimes we're so confused we don't know where to begin. That's why it's important to take wisdom journeys. Now, I like to call these wisdom journeys. I like to talk about this a lot. Because I found out there are times when I just go, you know, I'll preach a sermon, go, well, I'm frustrated. I just don't know what my gifts are, you know. I just, wow, I'm thinking I'm missing out on something. Or is it me, Lord, that is being this unfaithful, you know? But listen, it's just so important that we learn to take journeys with the Lord. So if you are lacking wisdom, then look at this. If you want to know more, right? God's very, very glad to help you to find more ways to serve and to be kind to other people and to use your gift for the benefit of others. You think he's up there going, no way. You've kept that gift on the shelf for 5 years. Now you take it off? No. No way I'm going to help you with that gift. No way. No way I'm going to receive that gift. No. Oh my gosh, we have such horrible views of God. He's just faithful. And you know what? Here's a secret. When you use your talents for God, you get really happy. Did you know that? You get really happy. Those things were made for you to be happy. I don't care what it is, whatever you're good at. They're meant to make you happy. Whatever gifts and talents and abilities you have, right? So look at James chapter 1. Verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, will be given to you. So you can't, God, how can I be more generous? How can I release my gift? How can I release my destiny? How can I serve you? If you ask God for wisdom about that, he'll give you wisdom. So now you just have to keep asking and watch. But when you ask, here's one thing. You must believe and not doubt, be absolutely committed to being a person that's willing to not live in the spirit of poverty, but multiply gifts. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So this actually leaks over into other areas, right? So you should ask God, and God will answer you. You watch for the answers, right? And learn to sow and to reap. Learn to sow and reap. Learn to move in your destiny. God, what is my destiny? What is it I'm supposed to do with you on this earth? You think God's out there saying, no way, try harder. What is every parent trying to find for every son? I don't care if they're 5 years old or they're 50 years old. Something inside of you is interested in that child's destiny. Who is he? What kind of mark is he going to make on the world? Your heavenly Father is twice as interested, 10 times more interested in your mark on the world than your parents are, your own life. Where the whole thing breaks down is we don't believe that. We think he has it out for us. We think he's not interested in these things. We think he's not interested as a creation, us as a creation, that we don't count. Oh, what a horrible, terrible lie. And I'm going to say something that's going to be a little hard. If you believe it, it's on you, not on God. Now, people may have told you we're nothing. You're just a piece of this or bad that. You know, your whole life, maybe you had bad parents. Maybe people are authority figures. But you know Jesus. He's your new dad. And this guy is really affirming. You get even close to your destiny. You keep praying over it, and say, Lord, what can I do for what do you want me to use me for? How do you want me to use me? Marketplace, wherever it is, I guarantee you he will show you. So then once you ask, here's what I've noticed is watch. When you ask for wisdom, watch. Watch for openings. Watch for things that are happening. You prayed it, now watch for ways that you can take steps, right? That's how we take wisdom journeys with the Lord. When we ask for wisdom about our life, he'll give it. And the way you do it is you just, here's another problem we have. We like the whole thing of wisdom for our life figured out from A to Z. And we like footnotes. God never does that. I mean, if he does it, I would scare me half to death. Because then I would be on the hook for this incredible contract, right? No, he takes you one step at a time. Do this, do this, do this. Sometimes three steps. No, do this. Stop disobeying there. Go this way, right? He's more interested in this than you are, so you can be assured. If you ask for wisdom about your destiny, about what you're supposed to be doing, he will tell you. Not back there. That's over. Not way out there. That's not yet. Now, in front of you, what is my destiny now? What am I supposed to do? I enjoy the things I've done in the past, but I think I have probably 30 or 40 years more, don't you think, Janice? 100 maybe? Okay. All right. You know what? I'll just say this. A person that has some sense of destiny, I think they live longer. They get up and they're aware and they're excited about life and they don't let things get them down and they don't fall into traps, you know, of discouragement, right? They got a destiny. They got stuff to do. They got stuff to do. So we don't want to Hollywood this either. That's a big problem. Way too much Hollywood in our life, right? But God likes small things and big things, and he'll be with you all the way. And the most important thing, which we talk about as the love of the Father all the time, is that you can hear God saying, good job, good job. It might be a little thing in a corner, but if God says to you, good job, I tell you, it's the best feeling in the world. We need to learn to hear that voice. Good job. You did a good job with that. You did a good job with that. Nobody else may know in the whole world, but you know, and the Father knows, and it's enough. And that will take you into your destiny. It'll free you up. Because sometimes people have this destiny, we start talking about, they get Hollywood on me, and you know, and they want to show us what they're doing over here. And that's why I mentioned Ken and a dozen. I could go out one, two, three. I could point a dozen of you that do things in the background that actually mean a huge difference for people. Where they're going to eat tonight, or where they're going to find a place to stay tonight, right? Or not even that spectacular in terms of that side of things, but other things that are just nice. They're beautiful. They make the whole place smell good, right? And our church smell good and the whole area better, right? So I just encourage you, look at 25:16 again. Let's just take this. Take the first step of sowing right away. In other words, start going and moving on this at once, right? Look at 25:16. All right, that little thing stuck out to me a little bit. Let me read this. All right. The man who had received 5 bags of gold. Now look at this. He gets his gold. Then what does he do? He went at once and put the money to work and gained 5 bags more. He didn't throw it in the corner. I'll get to it when I get to procrastinate. Hey, this is the king's business. This is the king's business. I've been given something. I need to do this right away. See what I'm saying? That's so important. Just that little thing right there. We're always thinking, well, maybe someday when I get retired and I move to Somalia, I'll start feeding the kids there in that country. And the only problem is, like, a lot of people discover by the time they retire, they're not doing so well physically. Then their vision greatly reduces, if it was a vision at all, right? Now is the time to begin to fulfill who you are in the Lord. All right, look at Roman numeral 3. Lessons from Jacob, the man who wrestled, persevered with God. All right, so let's look at Genesis chapter 28. So Jacob has been raised with Isaac and the family there, and they had a few family squabbles. Everybody remember about those? Esau was one of them. They had a very hard time, and Jacob stole his blessing. Okay, so this thing I love to talk about Jacob, because Jacob, he was a rascal. I mean, he literally stole the inheritance of the firstborn. Wow. If God can use people like that, wow. What possibilities are for us? But God saw something. He knew something was going on. He saw Esau's heart and he saw Jacob's heart. And he had a plan because he needed this succession of leaders to move on, right? Need to move on from Isaac. It needed to move on. His plan, extending down to Messiah and for the entire earth, these plans, and by the way, if you want to understand Israel a little better, these plans were all locked up in this man named Abraham and his family line, the Jews in Israel. He had this plan, one nation for all the nations, one man from that nation for all the peoples. That was his plan. So Jesus would come up through that line, right? So that's called destiny, right? So Jacob was a much part of that. Matter of fact, what was Jacob renamed? Anybody know that? Israel. Is there Israel around today? How many centuries has it been? He was named Israel. And are they in the news today? Every day? All the time? Is that conspicuous? How is this little country right here doing all this? The entire world keeps intersecting there. Does that sound suspicious to you? Because God took this nation and he brought Jesus through that nation and gave salvation to the whole world. He chose one people for all the peoples. And that was an honor, but very painful if you're Jewish, what they've had to endure for that privilege, that destiny, right? So Jacob had a promise from God for the future, right? So Isaac called for Jacob and blessed him. Then he commanded him, do not marry a Canaanite woman. Go at once. See, he's going, look, you've got the destiny, the line and the authority and the spiritual authority, and what God does is going to pass through you. So I want you to go at once to Paddan Aram, to the house of your mother's brother Bethuel. Take a wife for yourself there from among the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful, increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. He's already prophesying to him. Something good's going to happen there. Except the problem is, and this is us, when he got there, something bad happened to him there. Good and bad. He got a couple of wives, but then this Laban guy, which was their father-in-law, drove him mercilessly, right? And became very painful. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. Then he reached a certain place. He stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels were ascending and descending on it. Then above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Isn't it amazing how people are? They don't have the right to the land. Oh, really? Wow. God Almighty has something else to say here, and the Jews know it. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. And that's where we come in. Because of what God was going to do with Israel and through Jesus ultimately, all the world was going to be blessed, right? Their destiny was to bless the whole world. And they suffered mightily for it. They didn't have to suffer as much as they did because they disobeyed all along the way. But nevertheless, God still used them to fulfill this destiny. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. Isn't that amazing? That land, that promise extended all the way through the generations, even down to recently when God brought them back. This word, this promise, this destiny never lost, never was lost. Always found, always this destiny. I am with you and watch over wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. And this is specifically now to Jacob, who is literally going to be named Israel later, right? And then we move on to verse 20. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey, I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I may return safely to my father's household. Then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be my God's house. And of all that you will give me, I will give you a tenth. Now this is a weird experience he has. You know, where the angels are ascending and descending at Bethel, he has this Jacob's dream and Jacob's ladder, right? So Jacob understands now from his father, and now he understands it in this dream, man, I've got some kind of thing I've got to do here, right? It's getting serious. But here's the key, and this I want to just say this to everybody. The next 20 years look nothing like the promise. He's got this promise. Angels are descending. You are going to this. You're going to do that. And then the next 20 years ago, he gets into this family, right? He marries these two gals from this guy, right? Laban. And then the guy puts him through torture. He steals everything that he gets. He dishonors him in every possible way there is. He doesn't respect Jacob and just makes him basically his slave, right? So the next 20 years, they didn't look like anything like the promise. So sometimes when you get a promise from the Lord, something that the enemy might try to turn it into something really bad. It's like, what promise? Don't let that happen. If you get a promise from the Lord, listen, one of the greatest tactics of the enemy is to take that almost as soon as it's given, and like a newborn baby tries to stifle it, crush it, and kill it. Right? That's what they did with Jesus, right? So you may have been gotten, maybe you didn't know that the enemy does that. And so you have this and you're all excited. That's why it's sort of dangerous about prophetic words. Sometimes prophetic words that we get, if they're accurate, they deliver words of destiny. And the enemy hears that as well, right? And then he tries to steal it and make it completely opposite of whatever it was supposed to be. Steals it, right? And we're shocked. I thought I was supposed to be this. Yes, you are. But look, what's happened to me? I'm not anywhere close. Matter of fact, I don't think I'm supposed to do anything. I'm not qualified. Look at me. I can't do anything. Wow. I wonder how many people have had their destiny stolen by that little process. That's why we have to be very careful with prophetic words. You know, we weigh them. Is that for me? And it's da-da-da. And it's like sometimes like when we get prophetic words and somebody gets a good one, like it's good for them, they like it, they act like they hit the lottery, right? Which is good. They could have. But the thing now is, how are we going to fulfill that destiny? That's the key. Oh, yeah, look what they said over me. But now, that's just beginning, because now the enemy will do everything in his power to try to steal it. So you can't let him do that. You got to rest on that word. Wherever God spoke to you in the light, you don't let it disappear in the darkness. Whether it was individually, a prophetic word, however it came to you, it came to you, right? So Jacob has this incredible promise. It's like a stairway from heaven comes, and all this stuff's going on. But by the time he's in that 20 years, he wasn't feeling so great, right? All right. It took years of hardship and perseverance to make Jacob mature and complete, able to receive everything God had for him. He went through the ringer for it, because actually what God had for him was going to cost him, and he had to learn to live by faith. And he says to his Laban, I just want to summarize everything he went through with this Laban guy. I've been with you for 20 years now. Your sheep and goats have not miscarried, nor have I eaten rams from your flocks. This is all agricultural talk. I did not bring you animals torn by wild beasts. I bore the loss myself, and you demanded payment from me for whatever was stolen by day or night. That was my situation. This heat consumed me in the daytime and the cold at night, and sleep fed from my eyes. It was like this for 20 years. I was in your household. I worked for you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flocks, and you changed my wages 10 times. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac had not been with me, you would surely have sent me away empty-handed. But God has seen my hardship and the toil of my hands. And last night he rebuked you. And what is he talking about? Well, God spoke to this Laban. And we see this earlier in the chapter. Laban was told, taking his relatives, when Jacob fled with all the family, this Laban starts chasing him. Then God comes to Laban the Aramean in a dream at night and said to him, be careful not to say anything good. I say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. In other words, leave him alone, let him go. And so he let him go. And then he began to fulfill his destiny. 20 years. We see it, right? So most of us, if we had a year of that or 2 years of it, well, maybe Jacob had it. Maybe he didn't really feel like he had a destiny anymore. Maybe he didn't even feel like a prophet anymore or anything else. He's on his way home. That's all he knows. Get away from this jerk who's been tormenting him. That's probably, I don't know how much faith he had in his destiny, but guess what? When he steps into that land, things begin to click again. And I just got a prophetic thing happening. I can feel it in my bones. My goodness. When he stepped into the land, things began to come back. When he stepped in the land. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would activate destinies now, because some have stepped away from their destiny. They might not know exactly what it is, and some of us know exactly what it is, but they've stepped out. They're on a walkabout somehow or another, and they need to be brought back, and they need to do what they're supposed to do. So, Lord, everybody that's in that space, I pray you'd return their God-given destiny to them. What are they supposed to do for you? Who are they in this world? I pray in the name of Jesus that you'd bring it back to them, Lord. So when Jacob enters into this territory, and I pray, God, people would enter into that territory again. when he set foot in that space where he was supposed to be, and he had heard what God had to say, now he's ready, right? So Lord, I pray that anybody that needs to step into that place again, you would just show them how to do it. Listen, please, you don't need to Hollywood this. This is not Hollywood. This is brutal. This guy's walking. You don't just walk in Israel at that time. People are trying to steal for you, kill you. You're not in your own tribe. You're walking alone. You're vulnerable. And there's this Esau brother that you actually tucked out of his own birthright, and he's stalking you, ready to kill you. Yet he's in the land of his anointing. He's in the land of his anointing. He's in his destiny. And there's death everywhere. Laban finally got rid of that guy by the grace of God. Now he's got to face his brother Esau, who comes with thousands of people ready to destroy him, you know, and God just helped him with that one, right? All right. So now Jacob was free to walk in his destiny. Lord, I pray that you would release people with freedom to walk in their destiny. I pray you would bring revelation to them and insight. Step at a time. Do this, do that. Go there, go that. Try this. Stop doing that. I pray as one result of this sermon that you would just release such an amazing hearing from the Lord. First of all, I pray you take the discouragement out of their heart that got them to think that I'm no good or that I'm dead or that I'm just existing, that I don't count. I rebuke that lie in Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, because no child's like that. No child of the living God. You were bought with a price, a heavy price, the blood of Jesus. If he bought you with his blood, there must be something about you that's special, unique, something you're supposed to do for him, something that you want to do and he wants you to do. And maybe you don't want to do it in the beginning, but God will show you different, and he'll bring you into that space in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray as a result of anything I'm saying today that this transaction that I'm talking about would literally happen today. The momentum of Jacob's history with God gave him the confidence to receive his full inheritance. At a strategic moment with God, he literally wrestled with God, activating his destiny. Now, I want to just read this story, and I think I'm just going to finish here, okay? And it's got so much, there's something really critical here. So he goes in the land, right? And then he's worried about his brother Esau and all that. But then he has an experience with an angel. Now, interesting. Now, what's Jacob been doing for 20 years? Yeah, he's been persevering. You heard what he said. It's hot. It's nasty out here. Da da da. And by the way, you're the one that's supposed to bless me, and all you did was steal from me. Da 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 da. You know, and made such a big deal of your daughters, which I appreciate. But I tell you, you've just nothing. You know, and he's just going on and on, right? And he's running, literally, running away from his own father-in-law, right? Now he's running, and he's headed toward his brother, who he actually did something similar, stole his birthright, right? So it's not good, right? So look what happens here. This guy's been persevering. This is the key thing. Persevering for your destiny in God. So this destiny stuff, there's small things that we do as an outworking of that, but then there's sometimes bigger decisions we make, and sometimes walking in that is painful. It's just painful to be walking as the gifting you've been given, right? And the things you've been given, all right? So listen to this. That night, Jacob got up with his two wives, and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons across the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. Now this is the key. He's wrestling till daybreak. Can you imagine? When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched, and as he wrestled with the man, then the day said, "Let me go, for it's daybreak." Now look what he does. But Jacob replied, he realized at the very place that he had gotten the word that he was going to be this amazing patriarch in the land, right, named Israel, which still exists today, right? He has this man, a supernatural man, an angel of some kind, is wrestling with him till daybreak, right? But listen what Jacob said, could have said. Whew, boy, that guy's gone. I'm exhausted. Now, what does he do all night? What does he say? And this is the key thing right here. Everybody listening? I will not let you go unless you bless me. Persevering for your destiny in God. So the bigger the destiny, the more you persevere, the more you wrestle, and the more you will not take no for an answer. He wouldn't take no. I won't let you go. He's wrestling till daybreak with an angel, for heaven's sake. And he doesn't care. He knows it has something to do with his destiny. He says, you know what? I don't know what's going on. I got Esau in front of me. I got the Laban behind me. I've got nothing but trouble. I got all these people. I don't even know where I'm going. But I know I got a hold of something supernatural here. And I'm not going to let go of it till you bless me. And the man says, what's your name? Jacob, which means deceiver or supplanter, right? Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel. But Israel, right? Because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Now, in my little Bible, it says Israel probably means he struggles with God. So, persevering for your destiny in God means struggle with God sometimes. Interfacing. Tell God what you want. And all his experience of persevering in the natural, when it came down to receiving something supernatural and special for his own life, spilled over at that moment. And he was saying, God, I ain't letting you go. I'm not letting you go from this promise till you fulfill this. And he meant it with all his heart. And faith always moved the heart of God. And that's how he entered in. Why do you ask my name? Then he blessed them there. No, please tell me your name. He didn't even know exactly what he's wrestling with. And he said, what are you asking my name for? You know who I am. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it's because I saw God. He realized it was God. I saw God face to face, yet my life was spared. Then I like this part. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. And so when we walk with God in our destiny, thing is, we want to be paired up with God's supernatural power, but that means that we may walk with a limp. In other words, in our weakness, he's strong. We think we could be all strong and beautiful for God, but we're probably not going to be that strong. But we can be faithful, and we can exert faith, and we can persevere. And whatever life's done to wound us or hurt us or along the way, we just, okay, fine, but you'll take me with a limp, because I've learned that I can't do anything without your power. I've learned to completely depend on you, Jesus. So wherever we go is fine. Forgive me, I'm walking with this limp. God says, I like that limp. Just keep walking with that limp, Jacob. We're going to go a long way. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right, let's all stand. Lord, I just thank you that I have a room full of people that are persevering for their destiny. I didn't take much in our church to stir this up. I think that many of us are more aware than others of destinies, of prophetic activity, of maybe who we are. But I have two categories of people that I want to address. The first is people that have no idea exactly who they are in the Lord. Now, what I mean by that is I don't think I know what I'm all supposed to do. But now, by now, I have kind of an idea of what I do well, right? So I think that maybe sometimes we don't think that we're not aware of what God thinks of us, what we do well, how he appreciates the way he made us. We don't think highly enough of our giftings, right, that God's given us. And some of us think, well, we don't have any gifting at all, right? And so we're kind of in the category, well, I would love to fulfill my destiny, but we're thinking too big. We just need to think of each day at a time and then letting God fashion something in us, like a sculptor. So what I'm seeing is that if we, for this group of people, could just sort of go, Lord, reshape me now. I've got my eyes and my ears open. I've been a little discouraged by my circumstances. I don't know exactly where I'm headed, but I know some of the things that I'm supposed to do, but I'm so discouraged, I've given up fighting for it. I've stopped wrestling with the angel. I stopped wrestling. Lord, I pray for this group of people right now. Now, if that witnesses to you what I just said, I'd like you to raise your hand just now. I'm going to pray for you right now. Just raise your hand. Lord, for everyone that feels like I just said, everyone that feels like I just said, in the name of Jesus, may the Lord come to you. May the Lord greatly encourage you. From the Bible verses that you read, from things that people say, from experience that you've had in the past, may the Lord reinforce who you are. And I pray as a gift to our church, Lord, for these people. Lord, I pray as a gift to our church that this would be a week of signs and miracles, of communication, of reactivation of things that we know that we're already supposed to do, and be about. We lay it on the shelf or get discouraged about. May the life of God come into you. May you start walking again. May you start wrestling with God again. And not let the angel get up until you know more about what you're supposed to do now, what you're supposed to be now. And even if it's just a little thing, you take that little thing and you let God make more of it, like Jacob did while he was on the other side of the desert. That was all a part of his destiny. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, you would just breathe on these people, not just right now, but all through the week. I pray for dreams in the night. I pray for just little evidences, coincidences, scriptures that we read in the Bible, things that we've been told in the past that should reactivate memories that maybe even our mothers or our fathers or our friends told us. I reactivate the anointing oil on you in Jesus' name. The priestly anointed oil. You're a kingdom of priests. May the priestly anointing oil, I reactivate. I reactivate. I reactivate. Lord, I pray you would release a spirit of wrestling with the angel. See, the thing about it is the angel knew he was someone special, and he had eternity. He had supernatural right there, and he wasn't going to let go of that supernatural experience, right, until he was assured that he was on the right track again, that the blessing was on him. So in the name of Jesus, for all of you, I pray the Lord would release that blessing on you again, for all of you that raise your hand or in this mode. And Lord, there's also another group of us that have no idea, just very little idea of who we are and what we're about, some of our special things we're supposed to do for the Lord, and we just don't have any idea. So Lord, if that's you, if you're just really in the dark about that and it's frustrating to you, why don't you just raise your hand to the Lord. Lord, for everyone that's in that space, I pray the Lord, man, you got a bunch of liars in here. No, you guys, this is not a contest. Really. I would say 50 and 60% of you don't know, have no idea what you're supposed to be doing for the Lord. I know that because I deal with you in my classes all the time, and most people are like that. That's not to shame you. That's actually to make a transition today, because I'm going to put you on a different track. How could I be put on a different track? I'm 60 years old, like me, you know. Isn't that right, Tom? And you're 50, right? Okay. Lord, for people that are really discouraged maybe even about this whole destiny thing, even just freaks them out a little bit. Because they just, destiny smashed me. I've heard too much about that. Right? No, you haven't heard too much about it. Lord, I want to ask that you would do as a favor to this church, as a favor to our gathering together, as a favor to them listening to me speak and sitting there and enduring that sermon. And for all the other stuff we're doing today, as a favor in the house of God, I pray you release a sense of destiny, a sense of purpose, a sense of moving in spiritual gifts, a sense of walking in ways that we're supposed to walk in, whether it's in the world, whether it's secularly, whatever it is, in Jesus' name. I pray you would release that, Lord. People that have no idea or it frustrates them or whatever, they're frustrated about these issues. You know, what am I supposed to do? Lord, I pray you would make it possible for them to grab the angel today and say, I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go until you give me my destiny. I'm not going to let you go. I'm not letting go. So, Lord, I have a humble worship leader up here and maybe some people that would just like to take a moment. Just take five, three, up here maybe in the front. Just say, Lord, here I am. Please. Lord, if this issue's got me stirred up, I want to be stirred up. I want to begin walking and talking, and I want to feel like a person of destiny, and I know where I'm supposed to go. If that's you, come to the front real quick. Is this where we're worshiping here? Lord, I pray, anyone that comes in faith like this, anyone that comes in faith right now this morning. Matter of fact, might be a good time for our teams to go out and pray for people and maybe have some amazing prophetic activity in response to this. Jesus, activate spiritual gifts, activate possibilities, renew covenants that were made, renew things that have been lost. Lord, I go to the lost and found department, and I just say, in the name of Jesus, lost and found department, come forth with these gifts where things have been lost, abilities lost, Things that we used to do has been lost. I repair you in Jesus' name. Things that you're just trying to discover about yourself, I pray for a great spirit of creativity and a great wind would blow across this church. And I pray, Lord, there'd be lots of Jacobs, Lord, even the ones that have been beat up and abused by authority or other places or whatever like Jacob. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for the great grace of God on us today. I pray, God, destinies would be reactivated, fire would come back in us. I pray people would have dreams in the night. I pray people literally have dreams in the night, tonight, tomorrow night, and the next night about their life. I pray, God, I would set in motion a whole series of events that would bring destinies in place, bring a sense of awareness in Jesus' name. And I should encourage you, some of you prophetic people and some of the people on our ministry team, this is a great time to pray for people because they're vulnerable and a moment spoken right now could change their whole life. So come up and help us minister a little bit, all right? And you people that have got your hands up and praying, there might be somebody come up to pray for you. So don't worry about that, all right? God bless you.
Thank you so much for joining us here today. It was so great to have you with us. If you have any questions about our church or if you need prayer in any way, please visit our website at vineyardln.com. See you next time. Do whatever you